Hello and welcome to the ninth footy pod of the 2018-19 season. Today, myself and Dave.
Hi, everyone.
Are joined by new Russian United striker, Dan Hattersley. Dan, welcome to Podcast HQ. Thanks for coming in and joining us. I was going to say on this lovely day, but it's actually just gone overcast.
Yeah, it's nice to be here, chaps. I'm glad I can come out and speak.
Yeah, no, it's great to finally get you in. You know, obviously, as a football manager devotee, this is a bit special day for me.
Yeah, we've been name-dropping Danny for many years.
Podcasts, yeah. It's great to finally get you in. And to celebrate, I've got you some Crawford's shortcakes. Now, don't be put off by the 69p price. I'm told they're quite nice. So if you want to...
Yeah,
from Yorkshire, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, apparently. I had a message on Instagram that they're from Yorkshire. But it was from a Yorkshireman who said that it, actually I deal with some Yorkshire tea. But you've been to McDonald's, other fast food establishments are available for a coffee this morning. So you are trying to sort of cross the streams, as it were. But they're all right, aren't they?
Not bad, yeah.
A bit dry. Not as good as expected, but they're all right.
Yeah. You need to wash it down with a drink.
Right, we've not just got you in to talk about biscuits, Dan. Of course, we'll talk about your recent move to the Spaniards, but also we want to touch on your career that has seen you. I had a look on this transfermarkets.co.uk today. Now, if this is right, you're probably going to correct me now. 137 games in the National League, is that about right?
Yeah, roughly around
about
there.
About six FA Cup games as well?
Yeah, maybe a few more, yeah.
Yeah, and then I think you scored about 33 goals in that period, maybe?
48.
There we go, 48.
Just shy of the half century.
Yeah. And so that's, I think it was just under a goal every three games or something like that.
Yeah.
It's not a bad strike rate, because I know you were used as an impact sub in your early growing career. So we'll talk about that in a bit. But also, you've just had a recent spell in Australia with the wonderfully named Geelong Soccer Club. Yeah, so we'll talk about that in a minute. Actually, we'll start with that. Now, you've come back to the island. You said you've been back a month, but you've just helped Geelong win one of the Victorian state leagues, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I went over there. I was there for about a year and a half, something like that. And it was a good time. I enjoyed it. Got to know quite a lot of the boys. A few English lads himself, you know, from England, giving it a go over there. And it was good. And the team we had was... It was a solid team.
Yeah, well, I remember following your progress on social media, Geelong's at Facebook page and alike. But it was a tough league to get out of, they kept saying. But you know, we did go down to the second to last game or something like that against one of your rivals.
Yeah, second to last game. So the division we were in, State League One, is like two divisions below the A League.
Right.
If you don't know what the A League is, their top division. And so you've got the teams under that who are right. And then the division under that is called MPL 2.
Right.
And that's what... like the Spanish side is doing, like they're putting like Real Madrid B.
So
it's not very good standard. The division I was in, it was men's football, you know, just under that, and we got promoted. And there was no rules; you could pay what you wanted, and it was tough. It reminded me of Manx football a bit, you know, a bit sloggish.
Well, it's as we were saying before we recorded that the some of the pitches, it did look like park football at its best, you know, like venues like Nobles Park and stuff. But it's a bit more serious than that, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, there's a bit of cash thrown about over there. So that's a few people go over there just for the cash.
Mm.
And living over in Melbourne, it's decent whack over there. So, but the standard of football is not too bad. But like I said, it's not the main priority over there. They've got their so-called footy.
And, Aussie rules.
Aussie rules and cricket and then rugby and then it's soccer, you know, so.
So how did the move come about then?
Well, I just left Warrington Town at the end of the season and I got a phone call asking if I fancied it. I thought, well, all I'm going to do is go home for the summer in the Isle of Man. So I thought, I'll go over there for 3 months, see what it's like. End up staying for a year and a half, winning a title, so I can't complain.
No. So they're obviously planning for next year, as you say, in that NPL 2. Is there an opportunity to go back, or?
Not for that club though, because for Geelong in the division above, there's rules, and you're only allowed 3 visa players.
Right.
So I wasn't going to be one of their visa players, but there's other teams where I could have gone to and. Still time, because the seasons are different. Their season starts in March and finishes in September. So I've got plenty of time to think if I wanted to. It's not on the top of my list. Might go back to the UK, got a few offers over there. But like I said, I've only been back a month. I don't know what I want to do. I just want to settle, you know, enjoy my footy over here again. I've not had time to play with my mates.
Yeah,
you know, so-called mates, and have a good little go on a Saturday, which is a change.
Obviously, you started off well as well. How are you finding it back in playing for? Well, you've switched across the divide now from Castletown to Rushen. How's that been received?
Well, in the family, my dad wasn't the best pleased, but you know, Castletown are in a bit of a slump at the moment. You know, Castletown always would be my favourite club. Played there since I was 10 till I left to the UK at 16. But I just thought, I live around the corner from Rushen. I know all the boys there. Good friends with Josh Kelly, Steve Riding and that. And I just thought it was right, you know. I can just go there and play and enjoy myself. And it's been all right, first couple of games. We've not played the best of teams so far.
Or in the best of weather.
Both Saturdays, raining.
Oh. Yeah, vertical, horizontal rain. I was going to say to you, but obviously... It'd be an interesting question from you looking in, obviously seeing your mates playing. Are you surprised Rushen haven't really put a title challenge together, considering the squad you have now at Rushen is unbelievable?
Well, to be fair, they've had a slow start. They've had all the so-called big boys, and the next 3, 4, 5 games are mid-table, lower. So, and the teams above are going to be playing against each other. So when you say title race, yes, we can't get in the Railway Cup.
Yeah.
That's could be a positive. You could take that as a positive because they're going to be playing against each other. You never know, injuries, people go away, we can get points. And I still think we're only 5-6 points away from, you know, in the mix.
Well, I think Peel are one of the form teams, and I think you're the only side, you and St Mary's are the only side that's actually beaten them this season. And so you can sort of take heart from that. You know, you've already got one over on one of your rivals, so you can sort of take that confidence going forward.
Well, yeah, I always say is if Manx football, it's... You're not going to have a team, that I don't know of, that is 11 players on the pitch who are top quality. It's who wants it more in the day, who's going to work harder, and 90 minutes just put it in. And yes, you're going to have a little maverick player in there to win you a game. Every team has one. But it's who works harder at the end of the day in Manx football and in lower league football as well.
Yeah. You've obviously been away for a few seasons now, you just said yourself. I know you've only played a couple of games, but have you noticed any changes in Manx football? Is it progressed at all, or is it hard to gauge at this stage?
Well, when I played last, when I was 15, 9 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's tough, and I never actually played first team football. I played combi.
Mm.
So right now it's... I can't really
say, compare,
you know,
yeah.
But I mean... It's okay, you know. I don't really know how to gauge it. So
we're going to talk about that wonderful 2008-09 season a bit later on. 65 goals. We and Dave were reckoning you were the leading marksman in Europe that season. So you should have had the golden shoe or whatever it's called that season. But that sparked what we're going to talk about next year. Obviously, you went to Myerscough and you had a spell at Lancaster City. I think you were only there for about a few months, weren't you, Lancaster?
Lancaster right now, if you go to Myerscough when I was there.
Yeah.
It was the feeder club.
Yeah.
Because we Myerscough at the time was just building its reputation and stuff like that. We used to get dropout players from academies who failed for their YTs. So it was just getting there. And when I was getting through the years, 2-3 years I was there, it started to get better. And finally, I got my chance at Stockport because it was the feeder club.
Yeah.
I do believe now there's a few players at Myerscough I know. I think there's a little fella called Jack
Kamada.
He's there at Myerscough, and the feeder club's now Preston. And I know their coach there, Phil Brown, who runs Myerscough, and he does a top job, and I recommend that to all kids who want to leave at 15, 16, who haven't got a clue what they want to do and feel like they want to give footy a chance. Get yourself to Myerscough.
Well, Sid Batty is obviously there, St George's midfielder. There's a couple of lads there at the moment. I think Sid was on the fringes of that Lancaster squad. And then obviously Jack's been playing for the Preston Academy.
Yeah.
And they both have been playing for Myerscough's whatever tier team it is that they're eligible for.
Yeah.
But I think Jack actually played this week against FC United.
He did.
They won 8-2 Preston.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
So it's a good result. But obviously then you moved on to Stockport. You hit the ground running there, didn't you? I think you had a great start. I think you scored a few goals and
eight goals and six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You couldn't ask for any more, could you?
No.
Were you surprised how easily you stepped up to that?
Well, to be fair, I think I was 19. I was just excited and I didn't really. Yeah, there was like 6,000-7,000 people watching, but I just wanted to play and it wouldn't really affect me. So I was just going on there like it was just a normal game for Lancaster playing in front of 66 people.
Yeah.
And I kept scoring and then carried on going from there and I ended up signing another 2-year deal there and.
Stockport, of course, made the headlines last week. They won in the FA Cup first round. I think they put out a league club, didn't they?
Yeah, Yeovil Town, 3-1
away. Which is a bit, and they took 540 fans, which is no mean feat for an away game down there.
They've got the best support in non-league, I'd say, Stockport.
Yeah. So, yeah, they seem to be a bit on the rise again. I think that Matthew Warburton, who scored a cracking free kick, didn't he? He was on one of the Match of the Days over the weekend. I think it was the FA Cup roundup.
Yeah.
And he was saying they're going to try and obviously have a promotion tilt this year. But he's a PE teacher, isn't he? And that's the level up. That Conference North, obviously, you experienced with Altrincham, it's semi-pro, isn't it? And a lot of lads have day jobs as well, don't they?
I think in the Conference North, other than last year maybe, where there was Fylde, they're the only full-time club. And
I think York City maybe as well?
Maybe York City, but everyone else, it's maybe trained two, three times a week and then you've got a job.
Yeah.
So...
So is that, and I suppose that makes it, it's not that much of a jump from here in that respect, is it? No.
Well, I'd have to say if you're talking Conference North, well, start Conference North and Evo stick Prem. I think there's a big jump
really
from that to Manx football.
Because you play Warrington in the Evo stick, weren't they?
It's I'd say that's a big leap from there. You've got to be fit, physical, strong. Maybe not technical because. If you work hard, that's it's okay. But there is a big difference.
And I don't know if you know. I think I'm right in this, but you were the second Manx sort of player to play for Warrington after Christian Stereopoulos was keeper at Warrington. My ELOs for a while.
Yeah, my dad told me about him. Yeah.
And it's just a quick plug for Christian. Obviously, he's turned into sort of combi goal scoring sensation this season. But he's actually written a book as well. Have you seen this, Dave?
No, what's it on?
He sent me a message this week. He's he's probably going to murder me. It's an e-book on Amazon, and it's about Zen and places around the Isle of Man where you can chill out, quite literally.
I presume
listening
book,
to some of his... Some pun, say
it's a very niche book.
Yeah, very niche, but I think you can listen to some of his extended mixes, you know, while you do it. Yeah, so that's on Amazon, for those of you trying to zen out. Obviously, back to you, Dan. Obviously, you played for Southport, Halifax, Chester, and Altrincham in the Conference. Is there any moments that really stand out? You won one of the FA trophies with Halifax, didn't you?
Yeah, FA trophy against Grimsby at Wembley. Yeah, that was. I didn't play in that game, but I was there, part of the team. That was a great experience. Played at Derby County. That was another good game.
Was that in the FA Cup? Yeah.
FA Cup third round.
Was that Southport?
Southport. That was at Southport. Yeah, we got there. Parked the bus at Jose Mourinho and they scored in the 93rd minute penalty as well.
Because in the previous round you'd beaten Dagenham, hadn't you?
Yeah.
They were in League 2 at the time, I think.
Yeah.
And you scored in that match,
didn't you? Yeah. Well, League 2 in the Conference, some of the top Conference teams, there's not much of a difference, you know. But we knocked them out and I've had a couple of good runs in the FA Cup, but I never got past the third round.
What was it like playing in front of the TV cameras? One of the live matches. I mean, I've watched you a couple of times over the years, and I think I can't remember who it was you played against, but you scored twice in one of the games that was live on TV. What was that like?
That was, I think you're on about Stockport Wrexham.
Yeah.
There, but you don't really notice the cameras. You know, you've got your manager, you've got your players, and you're in your change room. They come in for a little gab here and there, but it's just the same
business as
another game, unless you're really focused and you're a bit worried and. You know, but for me, it was just the same. You know, it was just another person in the room at the end of the day. It didn't faze me.
Any goals stand out for you? We were talking off air before about the Carroll Cup goal that nearly was that Rick reported on where he ran from you. Through the pitch and stuck it in and passed Sam Brand, obviously professional cyclist Sam Brand at the second.
Only after he'd pulled off a good save. Yeah.
But is there any goals stand out in your pro career?
Not well. There's one for Southport. I went and played for Southport and I scored from maybe 35 yards out, 40 yards out against Kidderminster, so that was a decent goal to be fair. Well, I've scored a few, but I don't know which one really.
And do you keep a sort of scrapbook or a record of it? And obviously now it's probably collecting YouTube links, isn't it? But
I don't keep much. If I want to have a little look, I suppose you can go on YouTube, but I don't really look anymore. I used to when I was a bit younger, but now it's... I don't really look.
Well, because of your time with the aforementioned clubs, and we've already mentioned it in a couple of podcasts ago, but you're on Football Manager, including the latest generation, 2019. I've grab the screen grab, which is a phrase that would strike fear into most adult males, but this one is of your stats. Now, as true to life, you start off as a free agent, Danny. Now, I've tried to get you to York, and you're sort of playing hardball with me, to be honest. I've offered you £200 a week, and you're not. Yeah, I got that impression from it, the virtual version of you. But yeah, so we have a look at the stats. As you say, it's very target man friendly, the stats, aren't they? Bravery 13, you'd stick your head where the boots go, don't you? Jumping reach 14, strength 12, off the ball 10, work rate 11.
Bravery 13 is always a big plus, but.
Do you think it's a fair reflection, or?
To be fair, I think I'm lucky to be on this one because I've been away in Australia, so no. But it's not bad. I suppose a few attributions could be a bit high.
Yeah. How's the morale? It says fairly okay on here, but is that how is it in real life?
No, morale's top. Yeah.
Are you worried about the lack of interest from other clubs?
That's what it says. Negative. Worried about lack
no,
of
no,
interest.
I'm happy at Russian.
Don't tell the Castletown fans that.
We'll have to do. We'll email in the picture we've taken of you. Make sure you're on that next season. But yeah, it's what are the stats? Aggression 9. Is that a bit? Is that fair?
Yeah, I'd say that's fair.
Yeah. Pace 8. Are you being? Is that being kind?
I think that's about right. I used to be a tad quick, but now I'm a bit sore, so I can't get fast.
Conversely, your lowest attribute is marking 4. Now, I thought you'd do a job at a set piece.
Yeah, no, that's false. I'm not a bad marker.
Well, let's ask Liam about that. Corners 5.
Yeah, don't put me on a corner.
So I suppose the big question, which we asked Adam Long when we was in, have you ever signed yourself? Have you ever?
Oh, well, yeah. Signed myself for Real Madrid, you know.
Stuck yourself up front.
Oh yeah.
Top scorer. Yeah.
You and Ronaldo, was it?
Yeah, well, I tried to play with Ronaldo, but the president didn't want me, so.
So we'll talk about, what's the plans then? You've already mentioned you're going to just have a few months out and see how it goes, and then possibly move back to the UK.
Yeah, like I said, being back a month or so, it's good to be back, to see the family, friends, and just to be back around my mates, and it's good. But in terms of football, I don't know, I've had a few offers back across in the UK. And Australia's a bit early, but I've had a few there as well. But honestly, when people keep saying, what are you going to do, I don't know. I'm back, and it'll all figure itself out eventually, I might start to want to play football again, but who knows, so I'm really not sure.
I think you've got the right attitude. Just play back and see what happens. We'll see how your attitude is after these Twitter questions. We've had a varied gamut as always. Starting off with Tony Sewell, Dave.
Yeah, the gym's manager asks, did you not feel like helping Castletown stay in the Premier League? He reckons your goals would surely have done after Castletown played a big part in your development.
Well, to be fair, if I'm correct, Castletown only need 2 or 3 wins to stay in, because only one
team
goes
down. Yeah, the eject
seat. I think they've got that already.
Yeah.
And I wanted to come over and play and enjoy my football. And at the moment, if I went to play for Castletown, it's nothing about the club. I love the club. But I just thought I had a better chance at Russians to have a bit more fun, win a few more games, enjoy myself. Yeah. Scoring goals has never been a problem. So, yes, I could have scored some goals in Castletown. I can do that for Russian as well and enjoy my football a bit more.
With your mates, as you said.
With my mates.
Yeah.
And I don't know a lot of faces down at Castletown anymore. Mm. I know a few. Mm. But at the moment, I'm only back at the moment, and I just want to enjoy myself.
Yeah, it's fair enough. Yeah. You talk about goals. Have you set yourself a target for the season, or is it just about...
To be fair, I had a little gander online to see who was what. I know I've missed like 6 or 7 games, but... Yeah. I'm pretty confident I'll be up there at the end.
3-2 so far, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good start. Right?
And no offence, but got Castletown at the weekend.
Fighting talk.
Yeah. Dave Matheson, Douglasson District legend, he says, hi Dan, I remember you scoring 65 combi goals in 2008-09 when you were only 15-16. Should you have been given more of a chance in the first team then? You only dropped 10 points all season, including a 3-3 drawn versus Douglasson District at the stadium. Great defending meant you only scored 1. I presume you played that game, so that's why you're saying that. Yeah. But, it's a question that's often asked. How come you didn't sort of...
Well, when I first started playing men's football, I think I was 14. Mm. And at the time, 14 turning 15 into the season, I scored 65. And I think it was Tabs at the time, they had Alex Crawley and someone else, and you know, grown men, and they thought they were doing all right. So it might have upset the balance of the team or whatever. And to be fair, I was all right again, playing with my mates, you know, and it was a good set of lads. I don't think we lost any game really. I lost any games at the Combi, and 65 goals speaks for itself. Yeah. And yes, I probably could have scored a few in the men's in the first team, but I don't think I would have changed it.
No.
You know?
I suppose it's one of those as well. You, at that age, there was probably a danger you were going to be second or third sub. So you'd get 20 minutes most of the weekend as opposed to 90 every week for the Combi. Yeah.
No, I remember once he was saying, oh, we're thinking about putting you on the bench for the first team this week. And I turned around and I said to Lockie, who was the Combi man, who I said, and I'm not sitting on the bench. If they want me to play, I'll start the game. But if not, I'm just going to play for the Combi. And that's what happened.
65 goals. I don't think anyone's
going to argue with that
recently. Aaron Costain, he scored a few, didn't he, for Fox? They'll call me, but I don't think he scored 65.
No, I think that's
some growing that, Dan. Next question, though.
Agent Rashid, he wants to know, I think he's taken a bit of offence lately, Agent Rashid, because a couple of guests haven't actually known who he was. Have you ever heard of him at all?
No, I don't think I have.
He's the Isle of Man's premier football agent.
Yeah,
super agent, he calls me. So you know, you've got the likes of Manolo, what's his face,
Kia Drabchin, and
Jorge Mendes.
So he's the Manx version.
He brokers a lot of big deals, mostly in the north of the island. It has to be said. And to be fair, any time we have someone that's half decent on, he's sniffing around, isn't he?
He's
looking at his 5-10%. But he says, obviously that you've answered the question, you haven't heard from him. But he also says, what have you missed about Manx football?
Playing at home, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it. Playing at home, playing with my mates.
I suppose when you're obviously in the conference, you've got massive away trips in that league, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, you'll go down on a Friday, stay over at a hotel or whatever, and you do your match prep and proper stuff like that. And it's like a job, you know, you focus on it. It starts on the Monday, and till that game on the Saturday, everything's full on. There's no messing about. There's a bit of fun in training, that course there is, but you are focused.
Mm. So I suppose with the Russian, you could be in the Haven within 5 minutes.
Question from Ben Qualtro, and we touched on this before about Maesco and stuff like that. But what advice would you give to a 14-year-old lad living on the Isle of Man who wants to forge a career in football? And given the opportunity, would you do things the same way?
Like I said before, I'd recommend any youngsters who aren't quite sure what they want to do at that stage of life. Get yourself over to Maesco. That's my opinion.
Do you do a school course with it? Is there an education?
You go over there, and you've got your training in the morning, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, 9 till 12, and then after afternoons you got your lectures, and you can get BTs, your BT level. What's it called?
BTECs.
Your BTECs or whatever, and then from there you can go to university, but. Getting a good education, you're still getting a good education in football as well.
Yeah.
And there's a few people gone. I went there because of Liam Doyle, to be fair. I heard about him. Yeah. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. He went a year before me. So I was like, I'll give it a go. And he's done amazingly. He's gone to America. I've gone over here. So it works. I personally think it works.
How did you find leaving home at such a young age? You know, 60, it's a couple of years before you go to university. Usually, was that tough? Because obviously you're not just around the corner,
I know
you've probably got family in Yorkshire, but it's a stretch from here, isn't it?
Well, for when you're 15-16 or whatever, it's maybe tough, but personally I wasn't really that phased. I was just excited, new challenge. I was thinking, what am I going to do in the Isle of Man? Do I really want to work in a dead end job, or do I want to go and have a go, do something what I love? So at 15, 16, I was like, I'm going, mum. Yeah. Pack my bags, I'm off. And that was that.
Simon Elson, LMN FA development, Women's Development Officer, he was on a podcast guest a couple of weeks ago. He says, which player or staff member had the worst superstitions before a game that you've played with or under? Because you get some bananas ones, don't you?
Yeah. You can include Max players on this, by the way, if you want.
There was, I can't remember his name. Kilban.
Kevin?
But his brother.
Oh, right.
I used to play for him.
Zinedine?
Kilban, but anyway, he skinhead.
Yeah.
Scary fella for Lancaster. He was about 38 at the time. I was like 19 or something. And he used to get a cold shower before the game, and hit his head with metal boots. And I was like, what's going on here? It's a bit crazy. Yeah.
But what position did he play?
Centre half. Oh, yeah. Obviously.
Yeah.
But everyone had different superstitions. But
have you got any?
No, not really.
Because people all put the same sock on first, or...
I was about to say that, yeah. Sit in the same seat.
Yeah.
I don't have a superstition, but I like to sit in the same seat. I like to be,
We've got plush new changing rooms at Croke Larry now, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Thanks to Tommy Docky, I believe.
That was a clincher for the deal,
isn't it? Yeah.
He's accustomed
half-time
to...
Half-time pasty,
yeah.
And...
It's smart down there, yeah.
Yeah. And is there anything you can think you can bring to the club from your professional background? You think, maybe just tweak this or this, it might make it...
I've had a few thoughts going through my head when we're playing or whatever. Sometimes it's maybe a bit slower at the tempo, or when I want to receive the ball, or someone up front like Josh wants to receive the ball. Sometimes maybe in training I might be able to help and be like, instead of passing sideways, backwards, first look forwards before you do that. Mm. And if it's not on, then go safe. Just little things, I'll eventually get my thoughts across when I've properly gotten to the side.
It's Liam Cowan, is he receptive to that sort of thing?
Well, Cowser, he's a good guy. I've only known him a couple of weeks, 3 weeks or so. But yeah, he's a good man. He gets up working hard Tuesdays. We're down them roads or up some hills. And Thursday, like tonight, we'll be training. Yeah. He'll be sharp. Very sharp, but it's good. I'm enjoying it. All the boys seem to like what he's doing, and I think it's going in the right direction. So
it's a frightening front too. You and Josh, they can't be. You can hit them with so many. And plus, if we add in the wingers,
Steve Ryan, you name them.
So. Yeah, Russians should be score a few goals this season. It's fair to say. Tim Collister.
He wants to know if playing with whoever up front for Russian is better than we played together up front for Town under 15s back in the day.
Timmy Collister, I've not seen him in years.
Timmy Collister, did you see his ghost goal that went viral via the Sun?
No.
He is part of Combi Football's now growing trend of scoring goals going viral on the internet. But he's got an absolute worldie, didn't he?
Yeah.
From the Lou Combi against Governors a couple of seasons ago. Johnny Hogg in the middle, the referee, didn't see it because he hit the stanchion and came back out, didn't give the goal. Governors played on, tacked, scored up the other end. So Tim was robbed of the greatest goal that ever was, probably at Clackvane, what should we say. Tim is now a regular scorer in the combination leagues, isn't he?
He certainly is.
He gives us abuse on a weekly basis as well.
Would you like to see the goal?
We have Dan's running commentary.
Oh, I know. I have seen it, to be fair.
Left foot, was it?
Yeah.
Ping, right in the top corner. And then,
what's the ref doing there?
Who knows?
Whoa, is that Combi Division
Combi 2? Combi 2, finest.
Celebrating, and then, Governors go up the other end and bagging an equaliser in a 1-1 draw.
I think we won. Did you see Nathan Horsall's free kick this week? Soccer AM for their goals of the week. Nathan Horsall scored against Douglas.
We talked about this on the podcast last week.
Yeah, I shared it on our Facebook page this week. He's whipped in an absolute demon of a free kick, hasn't it? It's gone top bins. We both said maybe a bit of wind assistance, haven't we? Whip on it. It looks like, you know, an ISS, Dan, Pro Evo, and you used to have the first generations that were a bit Bobby Carlos. It'd go with a floater, 10-foot floater. It'd go about 9 miles wide, and then suddenly it's one of them. Okay, well, we'll move on swiftly, as we say. Going on to, we'll have a look where we've got you in at this weekend's fixtures, starting in the Canlife Premier League, and we've got to start, haven't we?
Southern Derby.
The Croke Lowy, the Dan Hatsley Derby, Rushing versus Castletown. Now, we should be firm favourites for this, Dan. You've got, as you say, a plethora of talents, attacking talents now at your disposal. Cass, I know, always tend to raise their game in a derby. You know, is there any fear factor there?
There's no fear, but I mean, you never look over any team, no matter who it is. You don't look over. You go to the game like it's the top division, the top team in the top division or whatever. You go same approach to every game. And I think I'm really looking forward to it. I looked, I was like, Castletown this week, been looking forward to it on Monday. And hopefully,
who's your dad supporting?
He'll be still on the halfway line.
Expecting a bit of banter from the Castletown fans.
Well, if there is any.
I'm sure Patty Quinney, last week's guest, will be there, won't he? With his,
yeah, Patty, I like Patty.
Yeah, top man. He had good things to say about you last week. And obviously, yeah, big derby down south. Davey, can you see Castletown sneaking a surprise, or is it just one-way traffic? In this
it's going to be a comfortable Russian win. I know Castletown have made a habit of trying to fly back their uni boys for the big games this season, but I don't think they'll have looked at this one as a possible win for them, so I think it'll be a quite comfortable win.
Elsewhere, St George's versus St Mary's. Obviously, we've talked about the title race, which I agree with Dan. You know, you're probably still in. We've talked about it before. It's three or four. I think whoever wins the league this year could have potentially lost three or four games, which is unheard of in Manx football. Maybe not in professional, definitely not in the professional league. But in Manx football, it usually drop a win and that's it, isn't it? You just drop a lot. But yeah, St George's, St Mary's. I think you're probably wanting a draw in this one, Dan, to keep it all nice and tight. But you know, it should be a cracking game, this one.
Yeah, I agree. I think ideally a draw would be handy. But I mean, if there's a win there, it's 3 points off one of the top teams, and then it goes round and round again until hopefully rushing the top of the league.
Now, obviously, both sides go into it on the back of big wins last weekend. I mean. Dafka got thrashed by Geordie's 12-0, and then St Mary's put 15 past Dougie Royal. Darren Hutchinson got 7 goals in that game. Yeah. So, you know, but is a big win like that, is it a good preparation, or is it a bit of a...
I think both with good wins, that it's going to be a good game. Do they both play the bowl, or...?
No, St George's up at Glencutchy Road by the grandstand.
All right, well, I don't know many players these days, but I've heard that it used to be all St George's, and now it's a bit even. There's a few from St George's going to St Mary's, so it should be a bit spicy.
Yeah.
So that'll be a good game to get down to and watch, to be fair.
Yeah, I know, I've said it, I can't remember what my preview now, but it's something along those lines, and today's Independent was get B there or B square, if you're not at Russian, of course.
Also in today's Max Independent is Team of the Week, in which our guest features.
You know, you're the first Team of the Week.
No. I didn't know that.
Man of the Match performance against St John's.
I know he's collected many accolades over his career. Probably up there. But yeah, St George's, St Mary's. Dave, can we call a winner? Or Dan said, do we think it could be a draw?
I'm going to sit on the fence with this one. I think it'll be a draw.
I think you're probably right. And it was on the opening day of the season, 1-1. It wasn't without its drama. Hattie obviously covered that game. I think there was controversial goals disallowed and stuff like that. So yeah, this should be a belter. Hopefully, or what? We haven't decided yet. We could maybe do rock, paper, scissors for it.
Oh yeah, have you heard about this?
No.
Right. Oh, there's a poor referee got penalised.
Oh yeah, no, sorry, I have.
forgot his coin, and so decided to do rock, paper, scissors instead.
I think that's perfectly acceptable. Yeah. He's got a 3-week ban. So it was a women's Premier League Super League game between Reading and Man City, and he forgot his coin to do the coin toss that he was kicking off. And instead of going back into the changing rooms, he just went, come on ladies, we'll just do rock, paper, scissors. I think that's genius.
I think it's perfect, but 3 week ban.
I couldn't believe it when I heard it was comical.
Yeah. Football's gone mad.
So yeah, we'll try and use that maybe later to decide who's going to Glencutchy Road. Douglas High School Old Boys versus Douglas Athletics, two of the teams that were sort of in the mix for the Railway Cup and faded latterly in the last few weeks, especially Douglas Athletics, who lost 3 on the bounce, including that 12-0 hammering last weekend.
Yeah, I think, and touched on it last week, but Dafka didn't have a strong team going into that game. They were missing a few of their big hitters like Matty Quirk, Mark Wolfenden, Martin Cowan and Steve Cowan. You know, four of their best players were missing from that. It's hardly ideal. So I don't know how the team's looking this week, but I think Old Boys will just about start as favourites in this one.
Old Boys, yes, they lost in the reverse fixture. Obviously, this is we turn for home. I put that in inverted commas now because it's the first set of reverse fixtures. Old Boys lost that opening game to 3-2.
Yeah.
But there was a wedding that day, I believe. And I think it was more of an Old Boys combi team that way. So yeah, I reckon home win, but they haven't played for a couple of weeks, obviously, because of the weather.
That's it, and who knows what the state of the pitch is going to be like at Blackberry Lane either. But fortunately, the weather's not looking too bad for the next couple of days. So.
Spoiler alert. do you think Old Boys home win?
Yeah, I think so. They'll just edge it.
Yeah, Dan, obviously, you've been out of the loop, but Old Boys, we're always there or thereabouts, aren't they?
Yeah. The Old Boys are normally up there. Yeah. I have a little nosy at the table. So I'll go for them for a home. Is it a home win?
Home win at Blackberry Lane. Corinthians versus St John's. Corinthians, this should be a home win for them. Obviously, Corinthians are in that top four mix. They've already secured their place in the Railway Cup alongside Peel and the two St George's and St Mary's.
Yeah.
St John's...
Tough start to the season, isn't it?
But yeah, they've rallied in recent weeks, but they're still not firing on all cylinders, are they?
What did you make of them last week?
From a few years ago when I St John's used to be a force. Mm. They're not as good as they used to be, but there's some good little players there.
Young team, actually quite a few young players.
Yeah, there's a few youngsters. There's, I can't remember his name, but he was a centre back. He was all right.
For Samingham,
maybe
with a beard.
Yeah, he was not bad. Mm.
But he had his work cut out with you, yeah. You and Josh.
But I think Corinthians will be a bit too much. I think Benny Qualtro's there now.
Yeah.
So I think he's doing good work up there. So
part of the Bella Fletcher Blaine's Trust.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of coaches up there at the moment. But Corinthians scoring goals as well, aren't they?
Yeah, well, Sean Doyle is joint top scorer in the division with 17 at the moment with Furrow Davies. So, obviously, he's having a good start to the season. So, yeah, I think Corinthians will be too strong in this one.
Douglas Royal versus Peel is the final game in the Premier League this weekend. Douglas Royal, after a 15-0 hammering, you don't want the team's most informed side coming knocking, do you?
Not at all. This is going to be a comfortable away win.
Yeah.
Not going to predict the score, though.
Reece Oates is a player of the month. We'll talk about it. Obviously, he's more on that in the inquiry this week. But he's had a great start to life at Peel since moving from St John's.
Yeah, I think, again, we look at St John's' tough start to the season. That's a major factor, isn't it? He was their best player last year, and all of a sudden he's gone to Douglas Road. So, yeah, Reece has had a great season. And I watched him a couple of weeks ago against Geordies. He was man of the match. Just ran the show, and I think he'll have a bit of a field day this weekend.
Yeah, well, it's not nice when you're down the bottom. And obviously, you've had a couple of slogs at Altrincham. Were they relegated?
Well, when I was at... Actually, I didn't get relegated with Altrincham, but I left just before that. So it doesn't count, but we had a bit of a battering against Files at 8-0 at home. Oof. And that wasn't... I got dragged at half-time as well, so it wasn't the best of games.
How do you pick? Just have to write it off and then move on? Or?
It's hard, you know, the next day, but you get back to Monday and then it's back to work again. You just got to get over it, but sometimes it's hard to get out of a hole when you're stuck in it.
Yeah.
If you've never been in a team where you're battling every week and you're not sure you're going to get that win, it's tough. Mm. You've got to be strong mentally for that.
So obviously Royal at bottom, I think they were minus 49 goal difference.
Yeah,
it's silly like that.
Good.
But as Dan said, it only takes a couple of wins and they'll be out of that bottom spot. So you just got to keep plugging away, haven't they?
Hey, we wrote the map off last year, didn't we? You know, they were down and out at Christmas and they came back and stayed up. So, you know, you never know.
Like Lazarus, literally. JCK Division 2, I had a Twitter conversation with Rory Poole this week. We've both decided this is the most entertaining division in Europe. Stuff La Liga, stuff Premier League, and Division 2 is... There's teams taking points off each other left, right and centre, aren't they?
Goal difference, deciding promotion and all sorts, isn't it? Yeah. Usually, so yeah.
That's what you want, isn't it? top game, are we giving this one? Onken Paul Rosen?
I think so, definitely. But, you know, it remains to be seen whether this will go ahead.
Of course.
We should touch on this. Yeah. Obviously, there was vandalism up at Ramsey's Ballyclone Stadium last week. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's happened at Onken again this week.
Ramsey's, some idiots have driven on the pitch, haven't they?
Yes.
And left tie marks, which at this time of year is just horrendous. Yeah. Not that I'm saying it's, you know, it could be done at any time of year, but the marks they've left is just...
What goes through people's heads?
No. Yeah. It's just, no, I mean, obviously, there's someone that's taken the time to look after that pitch, whether it be Andy or whoever's taken look at the pitch, and now they've got flipping tire marks through it.
It's a joke, isn't it?
And then Onken, I don't know if you've seen the Onkens as well, Dan. Someone's gone in and broke into the changing rooms.
Yeah, smashed windows, smashed doors, trashed things, stolen things. Defibrillator's gone missing.
Yeah, that's the worst. So the Craig Hartstrong defibrillator, which is there for everyone's benefit.
Yeah.
Touch wood if anyone's needed. And in this season, we've had a point where Paddy Dempsey at Douglas Royal is... You know, possibly needed that, but didn't in the end, thankfully. Yeah. But that's what it's there for, and someone's nicked it.
It's crazy. I mean, you know, they've done that out of.
What are they thinking? I don't understand.
No. So, you know, hopefully the culprits will be found, but it has put in doubt this weekend, hasn't it?
Our colleague Sam was obviously covering that story for news. Now, the pitch is fine. The pitch wasn't touched in the vandalism, but obviously the changing room facilities are in doubt, so I don't know what the latest is on that. But, if it does go ahead, it should be quite a good game.
Two teams in that top. Well, I think Onken is sixth, aren't they?
Yeah, and they desperately need something out of this game just to kickstart their season. They've been so hit and miss the first half of the season. Pulley, they're right up there. They're second. I think they're 5 points behind Youthy at the top. So they just need to keep plugging away and they'll start as favourites.
Stephen Priestnell's manager of Pulley. Do you remember him, Dan?
Yeah.
Yeah, but obviously a goal scorer. He's obviously gone into player management. Pulley, is that something you ever fancy maybe to take becoming coach or manager?
Maybe one day, yeah. I like to think I know a bit about football and I like to put my thoughts across when I'm playing, so it could be an option, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you gone that far as a footy manager yet? You've converted to a player coach at Real Madrid?
No, not that far.
I can see him with a director of football at Real Madrid.
There you go.
So Pulley, Onken, I think Punk Pulley will edge this. Onken just seem, I don't know what it is, they just seem to not be able to produce it against the slightly bigger club than that.
Yeah, they, you know, last year they would have expected to get something out of this, but this will be a tough one. Joe Rees is banging the goals in for the Combi. He's only played a couple of games for the first team, but when he has, they've won. Mm-hmm. So it'd be interesting to see whether they put him up.
Is this a traditional Onken problem, though? Because remember when Chris Asbridge was scoring for fun? And then he only played a couple of games for the first team, isn't it?
Yeah.
Although we should point out, Onken have got a couple of ex-Pulley players in the ranks. And
they have, Dale Walker.
Dale Walker and Barry English, I think. So this kid would, as Dan said before about the Castellan Rush, always adds a bit of spice, doesn't it? With it?
So it does.
Right, moving on. Choke, and not even had a biscuit. Jim's air.
You're right, mate.
All right, yeah. Jim's one of the form teams in Division 2 this year.
They certainly are.
This month.
Yeah, they're now unbeaten 4. They've done really well. They held Ramsey to a 3-3 draw last week, which is good for them. They really are surging up the table now, and they've got the top 4 within their sights, which a month ago was unheard of. So it'll be interesting to see how this one fares. And I think they'll actually start as favourites this weekend against an Ayr side.
Have you ever played at Ayr, Dan? You know, the big trip?
Yeah, I've played up at Ayr.
Pack your sandwiches, stop at St John's, you know.
Leave 2 hours before the game.
Yeah. But yeah, at Jim's, I think we should just pay a bit of credit to the Jim's groundsman.
Yeah.
At the moment, I think, is it Les? Is that the name we've seen on social media?
They've
had games both on the last 2 weeks, which have been unheard of in recent seasons, because it's usually about half an inch underwater, isn't it? So well done to Les and whoever else is helping down there. So.
Yeah, the whole club seems to be going in the right direction. The Combi are doing well, so well done to everyone.
Okay, anything we can say about Ayrton, maybe?
Well, your man Dean Tate, he's there. He's getting a few goals, so he'll make it interesting. But I think Jim's will just about win this one.
League leaders Youthie take on Union Mills at School Rigori. Again, obviously that pitch, as Hattie put on social media, is either too hard or too wet, isn't it? So they just want it somewhere in the middle, don't they?
They do. Youthie will again. They'll start as favourites. They're flying high, 5 points clear. They've had a great start to the season. You know, they had a summer of flux, but they've put that behind them. Union Mills, though. Yes, once again, they're the Jekyll and Hyde side of Division 2, but on their day, you know, they can pull out a win. They beat Pulley, didn't they, last month? So on their day, they can get a win, but I think Youthie will be too strong.
Dan, you got any insight on this one? Obviously, Division 2 is probably not your strong forte.
Yeah, I don't know much about Division 2 at the moment. I'll get to know it while I'm over here, but not right now. I know Malou because Tim Collis is there.
Yeah.
That's about it.
We'll come on to Blue in a minute. Colby versus Ramsey. Now, Colby, again, another team that seems to have turned a corner, like Jim's. A great result last week in the derby. Beat Malou 2-0. Climb off away from the foot of the table. Adam Fretwell, do you know Fretty? He's taken over player manager role there. They seem to have been, a few of the older heads have come back in, haven't they?
Yeah, they turned the corner now.
Yeah.
And I think that result last week will be even sweeter. The fact that there's a few ex-Colby players were in that Malou team.
Carl Hickey, Steve Collister.
Yeah, so that'll give them a huge...
Jordan Primrose-Smith as well.
Yeah, another good player. So give them a lot of confidence. It's going to be a tough ask against Ramsey, though.
Well, God, you say that, but as I say, it sounds by reading Hattie's report in the Examiner that Colby was sort of fairly comfortable in that game against Malou. I don't know whether Malou just didn't. I think he said they were very lacklustre, but Colby seemed to keep him at bay and then take their chances. They actually had a lot. Luke Roberts seemed to have a lot of chances in that game.
Yeah, he did. So it'd be interesting, this one. It could go either way. I'm going to hedge my bets with an away win, though.
Ooh. Well, I'm going to say a home win.
Oof. Well, I'll say draw.
So that's every base covered. Yeah. Talking Malou, they take on Michael United away at Bolero Road in the home of the artificial phone mast. Have you seen that, Dan?
Not really.
Oh, that'd be another one for you to one day go up to Bolero Road. It's got a big phone mast in the corner and they've put a tree on it, which doesn't look anything like a tree.
The perks of Max football, is what you came back for. Mm-hmm. So
they take on Malou. Malou needs to bounce back, don't they? Because is that two they've lost now?
Yeah, so they're just... slowly losing ground, I think, on the top guys. So, yeah, they definitely need to win this one, and they should do. But, again, Michael, they've turned the corner a little bit of late, so but this will be a hard game for them.
Owen Hurt, the man to watch for them, the youngster. He scored in the under-18s league last night, so he should have a shooting boots this weekend. Final game in Division 2 sees Foxdale host Governors Athletic at Billy Goat's Park. Now, we've had some dry weather, Dave. Do we think Billy Goat will be playable? Because it's usually one of the first to go, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's going to stay dry now for the next few days. I don't want to give too much away from your favourite feature. But, so there is a good chance. And if it does go ahead, I think Fox will be comfortable winners in this one.
Anything we could say about Governors? Obviously, they're making poor Sam tear his hair out. The inconsistency of their performances.
Yeah, they just got to keep plugging away. And we mentioned it with Douglas Royal in the Premier League. It only really takes one result to turn things around. And it's so tight near the bottom of Division 2 that, you know, you get a couple of wins and you go up to mid-table. So, you know, they just have to keep plugging away.
Foxdale, Dan, have you played it, mate?
Yeah, I've played at Foxdale. Yeah, it's in the middle of nowhere, isn't it?
Back of the Moon is the official address. So.
No, back in the day, that was... Got a little fixture up there. Used to be a few good games.
Trip to the Baltic after.
Yeah.
Not when he's 15.
No, officially anyway. That would raise the drinking age of most of the people in there, I'd say. 15, but there you go. Dave, Cotton Mic Corner.
Well, obviously it was much reduced Cotton Mic Corner this week. Only three games survived the weather last Saturday. St Mary's have continued the only remaining 100% record in senior men's match football. They racked up a 12th straight win, but they were made to work hard for it by plucky Douglas Royal. Eventually, it was goals from Brian Crellin, never a bad player to have in combi. Carlson Warrender and Darren Smethurst sealed a 3-1 win over the Whites. But well done to Royal, it sounds like they put up a good fight there. That score was replicated in Andreas, where Ayr United claimed the 3 points on offer against Foxdale, thanks to goals from Zach Hanlon, Matthew Johnson and Deacon Lombard Chibnall, the best name in Manx football.
Yeah.
And then Charlie Sherry was at the double for Youthy, joining Lewis Moran and Matty Boyd on the score sheet as they beat Governors 4-1.
And did you see Charlie? You mentioned there? Was it Callum or Charlie?
Callum. Charlie there, sorry.
I think it's Callum, isn't it?
I don't know.
Anyway, but he played with his dad. Callum Charlie, I'm sorry that Dave hasn't done his research more thoroughly, but he played with his dad last week, which is always a nice touch.
Gary, is it?
Yeah. And they won 4-1, didn't they? So, good result as well. Obviously, the reigning Combination 2 champions. Not often you get to defend that. So
Well, they stuttered a little bit in recent weeks, so that was a big win for them.
Now, we're going to blow the socks off Dan now with the best feature in podcasts anywhere. Dave reads the weather.
Yeah. Fortunately, there's a much better forecast this week. There's a slight chance of rain this evening, but after that it's meant to stay relatively dry over the next few days, and there's not much wind either. Might even have a little bit of sunshine this weekend, although it's safe to say it'll be a bit warmer in Geelong, where it's going to be a mild 31 degrees.
31.
Jeez. Not too bad.
Just rub it in, Dave. Eh?
Yeah.
Under 18s league, of course, played last night. A report from the magnificent Tom Kerfey in the Courier tomorrow. 4-1 win for Laxey over Moran. I think Moran held it pretty tight to half time, and then Laxey took charge in the second half. They're joint top now with St George's, so that's shaping up to a bit of a scrap at the top of that.
Yeah, good result for that. As you mentioned before, Owen Hurt got the goal for Moran in that one, didn't he?
Harry Horbury had a good game as well, the mercurial 16-year-old keeper of Moran. So yeah, sounds like good. And I think Laxey, some new names there for me for scoring as well, so there's obviously some new talent coming through there as well,
which is always good to see.
Touch on quickly, Liam Doyle, do you see this? Dan, he signed another year extension at Nashville. Obviously, I think they signed 12 players and agreed new contracts with them yesterday. So
yeah, I think this was fairly expected. I spoke to Liam's dad the other week, and he's loving life there. And obviously, he had a good run in the team. Got their Defensive Player of the Year award, as we've mentioned numerous times. But
was he nominated for the Defender of the Year in USL?
I think he might have, but I'm not sure. But so he's doing really well. Obviously, we should say an early congratulations to Liam. He gets married next week, doesn't he?
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, 23rd. So, yeah, there'll be a few Manxies going to that one, won't there?
I think so. It's a good job the St. Mary's St. George's game is this week.
I would say, yes. So, have you ever fancied America, Dan?
I always try and keep most options on the table, but when I was a bit younger, I always thought, I'm going to try and make it in England, England. Mm-hmm. And then, as I was getting older, still 26, but I mean,
I was gonna say, in prime, so, now,
in terms of like 24, I was like 25, I was thinking, I don't really love it as much as I used to, so maybe I'll try something different like Australia or America. And I think there's always different options, but Liam's just took it with both hands and gone with it, and he's doing amazing things out there, and he's making like the Manx, he's proud, so fair play to him.
And of course, Nashville will join the MLS next year, isn't it?
Yeah, 2020.
Yeah, Cincinnati joined next year. So
yep.
Fingers crossed he keeps impressing to that point, because that he can be up against the likes of Rooney. I'm sure Rooney will be still turning out for DC United.
He will, yeah.
At that point, will he? Talking of America, not too far away, Joe Quayle and Tom Moffitt. We should say congratulations to them. They're conference champions in Asbury University in Kentucky this week. So we think that means they go on to regionals, don't we, Dave?
We do. So well done to them. That's great news for them.
So there's two lads doing a scholarship out there. That's another way to... That's what Liam did as well, isn't it?
Yeah, after, yeah, there you go.
Go and do a scholarship in the States. Dan, I think we should just say thanks for coming in.
Thanks very much.
Wasn't too painful for you.
No, thanks. Enjoyed it. Cheers.
Good luck on Saturday and for the rest of the season. Remember, you can listen to all the back catalogue, including our podcast with Patty last week, which, you know, we've gotten done over 70 of these now, Dave. Did you see what the stat this week?
Oh, it's an amazing stat. Have you seen this?
No. So
we've had 27,000 listens, which is remarkable. I reckon 25,000 of them are probably our parents, Dave.
Probably, yeah. You know.
But it's the same capacity as Bristol City's Ashton Gate. So.
There you go, you must be doing something right.
Hopefully it'll improve at one point, won't it?
We can listen to them all at audioboom.com/channel/maxfootball. Of course, we're on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Deezer, and the less known Google Podcasts.
Well said, mate.
Until next week.
Ta-ta for now.